Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy all from a still rainy Lexington, Kentucky.
Are you going to say, I am Glenn the Geek?
Oh, yeah, and I am Glenn the Geek.
And from a still sunny Phoenix, Arizona, I am Jamie Jennings, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 10th, 2011, episode 94, Glenn's Lost His Mind, sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Personality, being what he's bred to be, experience and what we teach, every horse is unique. That is personality, that is personality.
The end of that song is about how we all feel today, I think. It's Thursday.
I really all day thought it was Friday. I was so excited this morning. I, like, jumped out of bed. I'm like, it's Friday. We're going to find out if we won the Equestrian Social Media Award. It's weekend. I haven't seen my husband. I'm so excited. Oh, man. It's only Thursday. Don't you hate it when you do that?
Apparently, I figure everybody knows who I am, so what the heck, you know they don't know who I am after 2 years on the Horse Radio Network, then we're screwed anyway. So,
yeah.
Hey, we're talking. Look, I got my headphones on, got my mic going. We're hoping that our technology holds out today. If it doesn't, it'll be the Jamie Show, and she'll be here by herself just chattering away for an hour and a half. But we're hoping,
we have
hope that we can get through. We did discover that there is these suspicious looking trucks working on the internet and cable wires yesterday down the street from us. And they were down there the last 2 days. So we kind of figure that's why we were losing internet connection. And they're not out there this morning, so I'm knocking on wood that we can get through today. You know, it would be really nice to get through one day this week without technological problems.
What, Glenn? I can't hear you. Are you there?
Oh, shut up.
Are you there? No, I'm just kidding. Hello? It's the Jamie Show.
Jennifer, what? Save us, please.
Oh, you guys can prattle on all afternoon. I'm having a great time sitting here watching the goldfish grab big mouthfuls of gravel and throw it around the aquarium. It's kind of funny. Anyway... On today's show, HRTV's Richard the Mig Migliori will be sprinting through with our new monthly racing report. That's going to be a lot of fun. And next up, certified farrier Steve Davis will be forging into scary territory with some great advice on finding a good farrier or maybe looking out for what's bad in a farrier. And wrapping up the show today, none other than international eventer Phyllis Dawson will be here raising the bar of our knowledge about Irish horses.
Wow. That one was like, she's always good, but that one was like exceptionally good.
I decided to go with verbs today instead of adjectives.
You did, yeah. Well,
I
heard her swearing over there about thesaurus.com, so I figured today was going to be good that she was on thesaurus.com. So,
I just find it amazing that she finds watching her goldfish more entertaining than listening to us.
I am her husband.
I get to enjoy Glenn's hijinks every single day.
Okay. Oh, lucky girl. Lucky girl.
Here is today's Daily Whinny. Today's Daily Whinny goes out to the happiest state of the United States, Hawaii. Heidi Ross posted yesterday on our Facebook page, "Hey guys, I'm a newbie to your show from Hawaii. Been listening in for a week now and just wanted to say you guys are great. I have the best laughs and learned so much from the shows. Keep up the great work. Aloha." Well, aloha, Heidi, and welcome to the show, and thank you for listening from Hawaii. Now we know we have one listener in Hawaii.
Now, Glenn, you did not pronounce her middle name, which is, I'm assuming, her maiden name. But her name is, can you say it?
Hokulani?
Hokulani. Very nice. You Hokulani. Actually pronounced a word that you've never said before.
And you called me out because I avoided that, and it would have sounded so smooth had you not called me out on that one.
Heidi Ross. No, it's Heidi Hokulani Ross. And I'm excited, and I want to go to Hawaii this summer to escape the heat here in Arizona, and I've been begging and begging and begging my husband. So, Heidi, you can send me any travel tips you want so I can convince Chad to let me go to Hawaii this summer.
Why wouldn't he want to go to Hawaii?
Oh, no, he does. Well, we take a vacation every summer trying to get out of the heat here. And I'm just pushing for Hawaii. I'm going, let's do it. We've already been there, but I want to go again.
Well, we have never been there. We could do the show live from there, but I think it's really early in the morning right now in Hawaii. I'm sure she doesn't listen live, so
it's like nighttime there.
Yeah.
But it's a short flight for us. It's definitely not a short flight from Kentucky, so.
No. Hey, no, and Jennifer gets nervous that flight's over 5 hours. She starts to get nervous, so we kind of have to do it in stages.
Yeah, I would imagine. Hey, really cool. I think Red Hills starts today, doesn't it? With the dressage, Red Hills down in Tallahassee, Florida.
I think they only have one day of dressage, but it starts tomorrow. They're getting ready today. And Chris will be doing the Eventing Radio Show live. First time we're attempting this, thanks to the technology we use here on Horses in the Morning. Chris is going to be doing 3 live shows at 5 o'clock on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday,
awesome.
5 p.m. to 6 p.m. She's going to be live from Red Hills with all the usual big-time guests that she gets on. So tomorrow she'll be talking about dressage and then cross country, and then the stadium in the final on Sunday. And that's from Red Hills in Tallahassee, Florida, which is supposed to be a beautiful event grounds. Have you ever been there?
I have never been there. I didn't live there when they created it. But it actually looks amazing. They say it's very challenging, lots of hills up and down. So that's going to be a terrain question for a lot of the horses. And also, it's supposed to be amazing weather. They just got a ton of rain, and now the forecast is about an average of 70 to 75 degrees and sunny for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's going to be a beautiful weekend down there. If you haven't seen it, if you're anywhere close, I would suggest going, because it's turning into kind of not to steal this, but it's kind of turning into a Rolex for Florida with all the big event riders and huge names that are going down there to ride. So I wish it was close. I would definitely go.
Well, and if you can't go, you can tune in to hear right here at the Horse Radio Network and listen to the Eventing Radio Show tomorrow. Just go to eventingradio.com. And, of course, right after that the live show is done, it'll be put out in the recorded version, so you can listen to it after as well. I wanted to mention one other housekeeping thing, and then I want to get back to Eventing with Holly Townen, and that is the Horse Husbands episode that I mentioned yesterday. We recorded that yesterday, and we had a lot of fun. It was a good time. I had the author of the book, Women Are From Venus and Their Horses Are Too, all the way from Holland. He was on with us. And I had Rick, Michelle's husband, who we've been following the last couple of months because of her horse Sprite there. And he was on, giving us the Cajun flavor. So we had a Southern Cajun accent. We had my sort of hillbilly Northeast accent. And then we had the Dutch accent. So we had three guys on there, and what I discovered, and you're going to want to listen to it at stablescoop.com when it comes out later today, is we discovered something this is the first time we've had an international horse husband on. This is the third time we're doing this show. And it was amazing to discover that horse women are the same everywhere. It don't matter where. Horse husbands put up with the same crap everywhere in the world.
Even in Holland.
Even in Holland. Did you know that they still use wooden shoes?
I'm not buying that. I think he was messing with you. And you, my friend, are one of the most gullible people
I've ever talked to.
They
still use wooden shoes. He said that. He told
me. No, I know. I think he messed with you. Sorry. I hate to be the one who constantly tells you that you're being picked on. But I don't think
I'm telling you. If anybody from Holland is listening right now and you still use wooden shoes, please post it on our Facebook page. We would like to hear it, and I would like to prove Jamie wrong, because that happens so seldom that I really like to do it. So, hey, Jamie, speaking of over in Europe and stuff, of course, the as you mentioned earlier, the Equestrian Social Media Awards are coming out every day, and yesterday had to be one of the funniest acceptance speeches, and, of course, it's from an eventer. Do you want to hear it? Did you hear it yet?
No, this is the same guy. I haven't heard it yet because I knew you were going to play it. Oliver Townend is the same guy that gave a speech at the meeting this year, the USEA meeting, and talked about how his side personality, he has like two personalities, and one is anyway, he's got two personalities, and one comes out, and it's his professional horseback riding personality, and then he's got another personality, which is a wild chimpanzee. So I have no idea.
That pretty much describes him, too.
Yeah, I have no idea which one is going to come out, but Ollie Townend is hysterical, and I'm excited to hear it, so go.
Category 5, the best use of social media by a rider in the UK and Ireland. Third place goes to...
Well done, the Irish, Sean O'Connor.
Second place goes to William Fox Pitt.
And in first place, we have eventer Ollie Townend.
I'm Oliver Townend, and I'm just being told I've won an award. What's it for? Social media. What, messing about on my computer? I've won an award for messing about on my computer. Great. £100,000, first prize. Carl sponsored it. William Fox Pitt, yes, fantastic. Well, firstly, thank you very much to William Fox Pitt for sponsoring the £100,000 first prize for the Social Media Award. Thank you to all the staff at Gadless Farm. Thank you to everybody that follows me on Facebook, Twitter, and anything else that I do on my computer. And also... just like to say, badminton, burley, all those World Cup classes that I've won mean absolutely nothing in comparison to this. So thank you very much.
There you go.
Did he say that there was a $100,000 prize sponsored by William Fox Pitt?
Yes. That's what he said.
I remembered who is
a surprise to William.
Well, I hope if we win, we get a piece of that, too, because that'd be nice. I remembered it was Marmaduke is his wild chimpanzee personality that he has hiding in there. And apparently it comes out when he drinks, which he might have been buzzed a little bit when he filmed that video. So
it's funny. You have to watch the video. He actually jumps up and down when he says he won the $100,000 right out of the camera. You can't even see him. He's just jumping up and down. It's funny. Obviously, he just posted this on a tripod, and he did it that way, you know? So
messing around with my computer. I've won an award for that.
Very funny. Good job. Good job, Equestrian Social Media Awards, and good job to Ollie.
I love it. Well, we're going to talk a little bit today too of not just the social media awards and everything. We're going to get into a little bit of horse racing, talking to the MIG, Richard the MIG Migliori, who is from HRTV, and we have had him on once before, and it turns out that He and Frankie Lovato know each other. They go way back, and we basically listen to them catch up and talk about the backstretch and give us a little bit of the behind the scenes of horse racing. So we're going to have him on right now. Richard the Mig Miglioria with the HRTV Racing Report. Good morning, Mig.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
We're doing fantastic. Fantastic. Did I intro you okay? Was that all right?
I'm sorry, I lost you there for a second.
Oh, okay. I said, I hope I intro'd you okay, because every couple of weeks we're going to be working with HRTV and bringing the HRTV Racing Report here, as it's kind of, you know, the season for all the two-year-olds that we watched go are gearing up for the Triple Crown. So you're going to return with us this week. And you're the former superstar jockey and racing commentator. So what do you see on the horizon for racing?
Oh, it's a lot. It's a really exciting time. A lot of the better two-year-olds are making their three-year-old debuts, you know, at this time of the year. And last weekend at Aqueduct, it was State Thirsty, owned by Mike Rapoli, winning the Gotham. And I thought he was very impressive. But Mike Rapoli's first string derby hopeful is Uncle Mo, and he makes his debut Saturday at Gulfstream in the Timely Rider. So now it's, you know, getting to be crunch time. We've got a little bit less than 2 months to the Kentucky Derby, and everybody's starting to jump into the fray and see who kind of made that jump in maturity from a two-year-old to a three-year-old. So I've always loved this time of year.
So what are you expecting from Uncle Mo? Since you mentioned him, what are you expecting from him this weekend?
Well, you know, quite honestly, the Gulfstream Park did a great thing and made a race for him that, frankly, the competition isn't going to be, you know, extremely tough, and what it really should wind up being is a paid workout and a chance for the fans at Gulfstream Park to see him. And I expect him to win. I expect him to win pretty impressively, although I'm sure they're not going to ask him for his best, because after all, it is his first start. It's just a prep, and it's just one more stepping stone on the way to the Derby. But I have a hard time in my mind seeing this horse lose, although, you know, strange things do happen.
Especially in racing.
Well, especially, I mean, exactly. If you know, it was that easy, of course, people would, you know, be successful at it all the time. But, you know, obviously they got to put him in the gate. But if he gets away clean, barring anything unforeseen, he's just the best horse. And now, honestly, his figures as a two-year-old are good enough to beat most three-year-olds. If he made any kind of jump in his maturity level and actually improves, you know, then we can all kind of hold our breath and start keeping our fingers crossed that maybe after 33 years we're going to have a Triple Crown winner.
Wow. That's a pretty huge statement to make, but I think you're right. And I mean, gosh, how good would that be for racing if we did have a Triple Crown winner?
Yeah, it would just be the greatest thing in a very long time. Obviously, if you know, you look at the history of our sport and you go back in 1948, Citation won the Triple Crown, and then we went 25 years before Secretariat. And if you remember, Secretariat wound up on the cover of three national magazines, not racing magazines, in the week leading up to the Belmont Stakes, you know, Time, Newsweek, and Sports Illustrated. And that mainstream media attention, you know, we haven't had in a very long time for anything positive. You know, negative things everybody seems to pick up and jump on. But then we've had three Triple Crown winners in the 70s, and now we've gone since 1978 and affirmed, and that's 33 years. So if this horse was to do it, I think the buzz and the positive reaction would be so great for an industry that I love and I know is great. It's just getting it out there to the mainstream has been the hard part, but that would certainly be a great vehicle for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, you mentioned that there hasn't been that much positive, but definitely I think Zenyatta was a huge positive impact for racing, and I think that maybe a lot of it was impacted by her social media presence, where she's, you know, blogging, she's got a Facebook page, she's talking to fans, and she's, you know, and her owners also paraded her around and let the public kind of make her the public's horse. And I know that Uncle Mo is kind of following in those footsteps, having a blog and having a Facebook page and all that kind of stuff. How important do you think it is for the horse to basically make friends with the public?
Well, you know, I think it's terrific, and certainly I meant no disrespect to the Queen Zenyatta, because she was a huge positive, you know, force for racing, and I, you know, anybody knows me knows how big a fan I was and am of Zenyatta.
Hey, Meg, let me tell you, Jamie named her puppy Zenyatta. Does that tell you something?
That's great. That's terrific.
I love my girl.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and you know what? I don't know, Jamie, if you saw, if you go to Zenyatta.com, there's a picture of her in the field with three other broodmares, and they're all laying down, kind of all tucked up underneath themselves, looking at the camera. And it's the most beautiful picture, because you think of Zenyatta as this, you know, incredible superstar on the racetrack. And now to see her just be one of the girls in the paddock and just being a horse, I mean, it's just beautiful, beautiful picture.
That would be diary post number 89, Meg, just in case anybody wants to look it up.
Okay, great. So you know what I'm talking about. So I do.
She has them memorized.
No, I've got Zenyatta.com up. And speaking of Rachel Alexandra, confirmed pregnant, shouldn't we be hearing like today maybe if Zenyatta's pregnant?
Yeah, I would think we'd be hearing, you know, at least by the weekend, today or tomorrow, you know, that what's going on there, and hopefully it's good news. And, you know, it's an exciting thing, and if you can keep that excitement past their racing careers, and people are interested in what they're doing afterwards, and not just for obviously the superstars, you know, for horses that are far less accomplished, it's very important as an industry that we take care of our racehorses when they're finished. And if we can get people involved and excited about knowing a horse that had been out there on the racetrack, and, you know, to help and to take care of them. I mean, that's one of the major issues that I'm very passionate about, and, you know, something that I'd love to see the industry come together and make some sort of an endowment. You know, maybe if we started an endowment where we can feed off the money produced through the endowment, instead of kind of raising money and spending it to take care of them, and then we got to raise more money, and it's a constant battle. I'd love to, you know, see some long-term solutions come to fore.
That is a terrific idea, and I, you know, hopefully now that you have this position with HRTV and you have a microphone, you can do, and you're on the morning show with us. I mean, what more could you want, Meg? I mean, this has to be the highlight of your career, you know.
Well,
the heck
I got
with
the call
winning 4,000 races.
Well, when I got the call to come back and do the show, I said, you know what? I'm finally getting there. I'm making it. You know, if you do it once, you know, and it doesn't go so good, you don't get the call back. When I got the call back, I was feeling pretty good. So.
And jockeys are liars.
Hey, Meg, what are you doing now? You're doing commentating for HRTV, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm doing commentating for HRTV, and I'm also working for the New York Racing Association. So I've kind of got two roles that I'm playing right now. And actually, I was in Saratoga yesterday, and I'm still there. I'm leaving now in a little while to head home because I was in meetings for NYRA. And then tonight I'll be on Pursuit of the Crown with HRTV from home, which is just a terrific show. You know, I get to work with great people, you know, Lefty Pink Eye Jr. and Jeff Siegel, and last week Gary Stevens joined us, and Michael Canale produces it, and it's just a great show that recaps what's going on the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown Trail, and I really look forward to my segments on that, because we really get to kind of brainstorm about all that's going on and all that's going to take place in the coming weekend.
And what's that called again, Nick?
Pursuit of the Crown, and it's on from 8 to 8:30 Eastern time.
Okay.
Every Thursday night and every Sunday night. So it's a, you know, great show. Like Sunday night, we kind of recap what happened over the weekend, and Thursday night, we kind of talk about what, you know, we think's going to happen heading into the next weekend. So it got both bases covered.
And if you don't get HRTV on your local cable company, you can get it online. You can check it out there. So that's not a problem either. So what is Uncle Mo your early favorite going into the Derby, or do you see others that have your eye?
No, Uncle Mo is definitely my top choice right now. But, you know, the thing people have to remember is horses change a lot, especially colts this time of year, from from about March 1st to the middle of February till the middle of May, they change a great deal. And a lot will be about who kind of steps up and matures a little more. I think Uncle Mo is, to me, the best two-year-old, therefore best three-year-old prospect I've seen since Seattle SLU. And he reminds me of Seattle SLU. He just kind of has that way of covering the ground, and he was a superior two-year-old. And from all reports and from what I saw when I was down at Palm Meadows to watch him work, I believe he's made that jump. Obviously, we'll learn more Saturday, but he's by far and away my first choice. A horse that actually was defeated over the weekend called Dialed In of Nick Zito's is still high on my Derby list in spite of the fact that he lost. He ran in a first two-turn race against older horses, which is a very hard thing for a three-year-old to do this time of year, to run against four-year-olds. Mm-hmm. They're a lot more mature. And he still, you know, ran very well, even though he was beaten. The race really didn't set up well for him, not a lot of pace. And he was still closing ground against a four-year-old. So to me, people might look at that race and go, oh, well, he lost. Losing, you know, champions lose. It's the guys that step up and come back and keep fighting that I admire, and I like this horse still. And everybody's talking about Stay Thirsty, Todd Pletcher and Mike Rapoli's other entry. And I like him. I think he's a hard-knocking little horse. He's very professional. But I like Todd Pletcher's other horse a little better, Brethren, owned by Windstar Farm, and he's actually a half-brother to the horse that won the Kentucky Derby last year. So I like this horse. He's undefeated. He's run at three different tracks at three different distances, and that shows a level of maturity that a horse will need heading to the Kentucky Derby. So that would be my top three, Uncle Mo, Dialed In, and Brethren.
Okay, I have a couple questions for you. First of all, why would they run that horse against four-year-olds in a two-turn race when he's never done that, and it's first race coming out as a three-year-old. My second question is, have two brothers ever won the Derby back-to-back? I don't think so.
Now, you know, I'm 99% sure never back-to-back, but I'm pretty sure that you've had brothers or half-brothers win the Derby. But, right. That's a fact that I have to check up on. But back-to-back, I'm almost 100% certain that's never happened. The reason why they ran that horse against four-year-olds, he made his three-year-old debut in the Holy Bull, going a one-turn mile, and he won, and he won very impressively. And that was only his second start of his life. He broke his maiden at Churchill Downs in November, and then he won that stake race in February at Gulfstream. And the way, because he so lightly raced, the way the timing was falling for the Florida Derby and then on to the Kentucky Derby, he felt like he needed another prep race in him to give the horse more experience, and he wanted a two-turn race before the Florida Derby. So, again, Gulfstream Park, very smart, taking the initiative, wrote a race in the condition book that he would fit, even though it was open to older horses so they would have enough entrance. And
gotcha.
Years ago, they would run a three-year-old against older horses. It just kind of fell out of vogue the last 30, 40 years. I mean, but it was a very old school move. And if you went into the race, obviously wanting to win, but knowing if you ran a good race and got something out of it, more experience, a two-turn race under your belt, a race at a mile and an eighth under your belt, that you were going to gain a lot out of the race as opposed to working just on workouts going to the Florida Derby. So I really think it was a stroke of genius to do it. It took a lot of nerve to do it, but I really don't think the horse lost anything in defeat. I think he gained a great deal, actually.
Education. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's what it's about right now, this time of year. It's about every race moving them forward. Secretariat lost his last prep for the Kentucky Derby in the Wood Memorial, and then he went on and swept the Triple Crown. So obviously you want to go out there and win every time, but you do want to win on the big days more than, you know, just an average day. I mean, and that's just a fact.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mig, I certainly hope that you will be joining us in two more weeks, because like we said, we'd like to have you on every couple weeks to bring us our HRTV racing report. I learn so much every single time we talk, and so far I completely agree with you. Uncle Mo is the horse to watch, and will you come back on in 2 weeks and talk a little bit more about maybe the race this coming weekend. It's going to be a big one, and I'm sure we'll be talking about Uncle Mo's victory.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. Be my pleasure. And just so you guys know, because you're a total horse show, not just horse racing, I just bought myself a Tennessee walking horse, so I'm starting to learn about gated horses.
Big!
No way!
Holy cow! Congratulations!
Yeah, thank you. I mean, because of the injuries that I incurred, that I couldn't ride races anymore. I still can't get jarred around, and I went and tried out this Tennessee Walker, who just is the greatest mind and the greatest mover. And he was so smooth, and I said, you know, this horse got to come home with me. So I'm foraying out into another, you know, area of the horse world.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Wow.
Was this your first ever riding a Tennessee Walker?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Wow. And you didn't miss the bouncing?
No, I tell you, you know, I just was really, and he's young. I mean, he's a 3-year-old, but he was, you know, really well broken by his breeder, and we did a lot of research, and you know, I took him for a trail ride, and it was kind of a windy day, and a branch cracked and broke, and he kind of looked at it and went, okay, and kept going. I said, you know, this guy's for me, because I can ride. I just can't fall off anymore.
Hey, can you do us a favor and send us or post on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page a picture of you and your new baby?
As soon as I get home today, I'll get that out to you guys.
Okay, great. Oh, thanks, Meg. We appreciate it, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So next time I come on, we'll talk about racing, and I'll let you know how my experience with the gated horse is working out.
I love it.
What's the name?
He's got a paper name, which, you know, of course we don't call him. His paper name is Stone Creek Caper, but we call him Levi, and he's a spotted Tennessee Walker. And when I was a kid, my first pony was a Pinto pony, so I was already in love with him when I laid eyes on him. Then when I rode him, it was all over.
Well, I'll tell you what, Meg, we're going to change the name of the report to the HRTV Racing and Levi Report.
Okay, you got it, and I look forward to being on in a couple of weeks.
All right, we want to hear. All right, thanks, Meg.
Have a great day.
All right, bye. Go, Uncle Mo!
And go, Meg, right? Can you? I was almost fell off my ball, actually. That's terrific. A Tennessee Walker for the Big.
I cannot imagine a jock like him, big, tough jockey, you know, small, tough jockey,
yeah.
Riding on the back of a Tennessee walking horse. But I guess you're right. You know, once you have so many injuries and you still have that love for horses, that a gated horse is, you know, probably the way to go. So good for him. I think it's awesome. And
wait a minute. And there's one other thing about that report that I found fascinating before we get to our commercial and our next guest. Is you talking about, you know, two turns and the this and the that and, you know, this horse, why'd they do that? And I'm going, what? Where'd she get that? Were you reading that off of something or just checking?
No, I'm a Blood Horse subscriber. I read all this stuff. I find racing unbelievably exciting. I can't help it.
Okay, just checking.
And I love the horses when they're done racing, and I love the thoroughbred breed. And no, I mean, to take a horse that's a potential Derby hopeful that has never run two turns, which is they haven't done two turns on the track. It's just maybe they did like a 6-furlong race and they went around, or they didn't do a complete mile. They didn't go around the bend twice. Does that make sense? That's two turns.
Yes, that does make sense. It's just, I almost fell off my ball. I really did. And and we do have to get to our next guest right after our break here, but we have a request. Liam Killian, our friend over at the Social Media Awards there in Ireland, who's going to be on with us on Monday for our special episode, posted this morning, must be listening to the show, and said, loving the English accent, Jamie. And then I wrote to him, don't encourage her, Liam. And then he wrote back, let's hear Jamie's Irish accent. So why don't you just do the commercial with your Irish accent? That would be terrific.
Oh, my God. First of all, every accent I do sounds exactly the same. There's no difference in my English, Australian, or Irish accent, so I refuse, Liam. I don't need your help. Why don't you call in and you can record the commercial? You can read about our friends on EasySignsOnline.com all by yourself. And we'll have him on Monday, and I will make him do it. All right,
there
so I'm just going to normally, maybe a little Southern, talk about our friends at EasySignsOnline.com. How's that? That's the only one I really
You
know.
Do Southern very well, yes.
Visit our friends at EasySignsOnline.com, Liam, and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options and see all the pricing up front, from vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates, to farm entrance signs. They also have business, school, and church signs. They have signs for everything. And spring is just around the corner, so time to start thinking about replacing that old, worn-out, faded farm sign entrance you have now. Farm entrance sign that you currently have. Visit Easy Signs Online today and browse through their new sign sample pages for ideas for your new signs. Check out the website today. Also, free shipping on most of their signs. So EasySignsOnline.com, that is the letter E, then the letter Z, and then signsonline.com. 1-800-640-8180.
You sounded good even without that fake Irish accent. You still sounded good. Well, our next guest is wondering why he accepted this invitation to come on the show. And but you know what? If he's like any of the other farriers I know, he likes to have a good time, because that's all farriers do. They walk around, they hang out with pretty girls all day. They do a horse here or there, but mostly I think it's just to hang out with pretty girls. Is that right, Steve Davis, the AFA certified farrier from Franklin, Tennessee? I got that right, don't I?
You pretty much nailed that one there, buddy. You nailed that.
As you can see, we're in a mood here on the show this morning.
Well, I pretty much stay in the mood, so let's get it.
Now, you're from Franklin, Tennessee. You're on the board of directors of the Region 4 American Farriers Association. First, I bet you there's a lot of our listeners going, I didn't even know there was a Farriers Association. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we belong to the American Farrier Association, and it's an international association, although it's an American Farrier Association. And it's a very large group. We have around 2,500 members, and it's a great association, and it's to promote the art and science of farriery, and the bottom line is the welfare of the horse.
Well, you know, over the last couple of weeks, we work with thehorse.com. They come on and do health reports with us once a week. And they've been talking about the hoof and, you know, hoof care with a veterinarian that comes on. And so it was appropriate that we had you on. You know, one of the hardest things when you're a horse owner is finding a farrier that you number one, like and trust. And there's a lot of trust you put in your farrier. So how do you find a farrier? You know, how do you find a good farrier? It's one of the hardest questions in the horse world.
Well, the first thing, of course, being a, you know, true-blooded American Farrier Association member is you can get on AmericanFarriers.org, and we have a section in our website there of Find a Farrier, and you can find, and it's listed in states and all, and you can find a farrier, see their level, and that's one good way to start. I think the best way basically is talk to other horse owners, same maybe horses that are in your or people that are in your same discipline, and ask questions. And you want a farrier that is well respected, and you want to see his work, and you want to know that the horses he shoes are successful. And also you want to know what the problems are. And usually it comes down to communication. You've got to like your farrier. You have to like your farrier. If you don't, or the other clients or your friends don't like him, then you're not going to.
So
I'd say basically is just ask around.
You know, it is interesting, and it's sort of, you know, it's a little bit of you have to try them out, too. You get recommendations because your friend may love that farrier. We've had that situation, you know, where friends of ours that own big boarding stables loved their farrier, and we get them out, and we didn't like them at all. So it is kind of, you know, it's kind of trying them out, too, and seeing who you click with. It's sort of like dating, you know? This person is, you're trusting the soundness of your horse with this person, so it's kind of like a courtship. You better darn well like them.
It's kind of scary, actually. when you think about it, because you're trusting them. And the slogan we have, which is no foot, no horse, it rings so true. I mean, if your horse is unsound or he can't do the job you've hired him to do, you know, to me, that's the saddest thing, is to have, because people spend exorbitant amount of money on these horses, and the saddest thing to me to hear some of them go, well, we can't show because our horse is off or unsound, and it's too much money being spent, and I think that's a sad thing.
So I guess I have several questions for you, but one being, how do you find that guy? How do you know that they're a good farrier? Is it because they're certified through your organization, or are there guys out there that haven't done it that are good, or do you recommend at least definitely starting with an AFA-certified farrier?
Well, naturally I do, and simply because we educate our farriers, and that's our mission, is to further the development of farriers and to be a resource for that farrier, and in turn that increases the welfare of your horse. So you know, I bleed AFA. However, I have to say this: some of the best farriers in the world do not belong to the American Farriers Association, and they're fantastic farriers. I know a lot of them. And so because of that, I just can't say it should be an AFA farrier. But I will tell you this, the certified AFA farrier has gone through stringent testing, and they studied and they passed the test. And it is tough. It is tough. To say you're a certified farrier is that's a feat, and we're very proud of that. However, I still go back to this. The best way to find a farrier is by word of mouth. And,
right.
And if you move to a new area or whatever, people talk. There's not a network in this world any faster than the horse owner community.
You are not kidding.
Oh, man, it is quick. And, you know, you have to ask. You just have to ask, and you have to ask people that you respect in your particular discipline. And,
right.
I moved
to a new area as well. I when I moved here, all I did was walk around and look at people's horses' feet and just decide what I liked and what was a terrible job, and go, hey, who's your farrier? Okay, not using that guy. But what are you guys doing about that? Can you do anything about the guys? Okay, like, for example, my farrier brought an assistant out, and the guy was, you know, pulling the shoes and then, you know, maybe clenching the nails at the end. But 6 weeks later, I see the guy in a grocery store, and he says, hey, I'm looking for clients now. I'm going to do my own shoeing now. Yet he'd only worked with my farrier for like 6 weeks of on-the-job training, and all of a sudden he's a farrier. And I think that happens a lot. That's why I think it is important to find a certified farrier. But what can people do about that? What can you guys do about that? Anything?
Unfortunately, we are not we're not regulated as they are in England or in Europe. You can go buy an anvil and some hand tools and put a sign out. You know what I mean? But the training is of course paramount. You said you were walking through the barns and you're looking at the feed and all. Anytime you do that, you're putting yourself in a spot, because you might see a set of feet and it's beautiful, okay? Every nail straight, it's really slicked up and really nice. But if that shoeing is not functional for that horse, it can be the prettiest job in the world. But if this horse doesn't move correctly, if this horse doesn't set himself correctly. He can't do the job that he's been hired to do. And you have to have someone who has expertise in applying that shoe. And it can't be an iron hanger. It's got to be someone that has some training in that discipline or that horse is the best he can be moving wise. I don't care what it looks like. The nails can be anywhere, and it doesn't have to be slicked up. But if that horse is moving correctly to where he can show and do the best he can possibly do, we have to understand these horses, especially these high-level horses, they are athletes in every sense of the word. And if that shoe is not applied correctly, regardless of the aesthetics of it, this horse can't do his job. How's that?
Yeah, you know, we're talking to Steve Davis. He's the AFA certified farrier on the board of directors. Steve, I wish you were just a little more passionate about what you think, because you know you can't find it at all in there. But another question for you, because I totally agree with you. I'm not going to, you know, walk into the barn looking at people's shoe jobs. I'm not going to, like, oh, that's pretty. Oh, the horse is lame. Whatever. That's a really good nail clenching job. No, I'm not going to be that guy. But how important is it that your, let me rephrase, because I think it's incredibly important that your vet and your farrier work together on keeping the soundness of your horse. And is that becoming more acceptable with farriers now? Because usually it's like, oh, we don't need the vet. I'll take care of it. Some guys are like that. Some guys want x-rays. Some guys don't. You know, what is your opinion on that?
You cannot do that horse justice unless you have the proper information. We have to work with the veterinarians. We have to. You have to see, it's incredible the inner workings of that foot and that leg, and it's unbelievable how they correlate with each part of the body, not just the foot, not just the leg. If you don't have that information, you cannot shoe exactly how that horse needs to go. You need to be able to see. I will hardly ever a new horse without a set of x-rays or watching that horse go myself, either under tack or lunged or whatever. I've got to see that horse move. Anybody who shoes a horse without seeing that horse first move, you don't want them shoeing your horse because they're going in blind.
Yeah, so that's something that could indicate whether this guy is qualified or not, or this woman is. Did they watch the horse go? Did they know what they were looking at? Did they know what they were seeing? Or did they just walk in and slap a set of shoes on them? So maybe that's a good idea of what would be qualified and what wouldn't. Do you, any other suggestions of things you should definitely look for?
You know, you have, as I said earlier, you have to like your farrier. You have to. Because you're going to be working hand in hand with him and the veterinarian, and you have to like your farrier, number one. Arrogance to me, and that's a sad thing about our profession. We have somehow we've garnered this arrogance, and this, you know, we're the professional, we're the farrier, we know what we're doing. And arrogance to me kills a relationship, and so. If somebody walks in with her chest stuck out, you know, like they're God Almighty, I don't want anything to do with them. And I don't know why y'all would be any different. However, you want someone who has a modicum of respect for themselves, but not cross the line and be arrogant. It's kind of like, you know, you want them to quietly show their understanding. And so that's the kind of person I like to be around. We have the reputation of, well, they won't call you back. You know, it's like the T-shirts. You know, this, I saw one time at Rolex, and it said, you know, my farrier's like my cat. He doesn't come when I call, and when he does come, he does as he damn well pleases. You know, that's a sad testimony for my profession, and I take offense to that. And so So that's why we try to educate everybody to say, communicate, use that cell phone, call. You know, if you cast a shoe, you get there in a timely manner, and you get that shoe back on, and you get that horse back out of the box. And so you want people like that, and you want people who genuinely care. I heard a guy say one time, and he's a very, very well-known horseshoer, and at a clinic that he did, and he said, I just want to go in, shoe the horse, get my money, and leave. I'm not their friend. I don't want to know about their family. My goodness, that's sad. I you know, your farrier is almost like your bartender. We hear all the stories. You know, we know everything.
Well, Steve, I couldn't agree with you more.
You have to cultivate some kind of a relationship with your client. You need to know them. They need to know you. My people, I know their kids' birthdays. We know everything.
Well,
it's just good.
I was just going to say, our farrier, you know, the farrier that we use is the same way. You know, he believes he's part shrink and part, and farriers are, good farriers are, you know, because it's kind of, I don't know what it is about farriers, but that, I'm so happy to hear you say everything you just said, because, you know, it needs to be said. And boy, there are, you know, it's like any other industry. Though there's good veterinarians, and then there's ones that have terrible bedside manners, and it's the same way with a farrier. It's the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing, and you have to feel comfortable with your farrier, and you have to be reliable on your farrier because, and this is going to sound arrogant, and I don't mean it to be, but without us, you're not going to make your next show.
That's true.
And you're
not arrogant. It's true.
You're not going to go that good dressage test, and you're not going to, you know, you're not going to lay down a good trip in the jump ring. You have to have us. So we have to, you have to find someone who you can rely on, and they have to be reliable. We hear these stories, all these horrible stories about, you know, he won't return my call. I lost his shoe. The shoe's been off for a week. Oh, that's asinine. Then find somebody that can perform that service, because it is a service to you. But mainly to your horse. You have to have someone care about your horse as much as you do.
We obviously agree with you here, and I'm just glad to hear you say it, to be honest with you. and then, you know, I am known on the show for taking it from a very serious, good conversation right into the gutter. That's my job. So
yep.
I have a way to do that today with Steve. Steve, there's another way to pick your farrier, and it's a fan page on Facebook, and it has 5,025 members, and it's called Sexy Farrier Butt Fan Club. And it's nothing but people taking pictures of their farrier's butts when they're leaning over, and that is another way that you could pick your farrier.
Certainly you can. We pick our clients the same way. So we're even.
That's great. I love that. That is a real page, by the way.
Oh, I'm
becoming a fan. Right now. I'm on it right
now. years ago, you know, I've been doing this a long time, almost 30 years. And probably years ago, somebody might want to look at my butt, but now, you know, I'm humped over and, you know, I'm screwed together with plates and screws, and, you know, my hands and arms look like I've been playing with a badger. And why would anybody find that sexy? I just can't understand that statement, though.
Thank you, Rick. Steve, we're starting to lose you a little bit here. So thank you so much for coming on with us. Do you have a website for yourself, Steve?
I do not.
Okay.
Word of mouth is my way to go.
All right.
Nice.
But the American Farriers Association, it's theamericanfarriers.com. You can check that out there. And we hope to have you back as we get questions, you know, farrier-type questions. Will you come back with us?
Oh, I'd love to.
All right.
Thank you.
You have a great day out there shoeing horses.
All Thank you. You too. Bye.
Right. Bye-bye. Sounded like poor Steve was in the middle of a windstorm there for a while.
Okay, yeah. I gotta tell you something here. I logged on to the Sexy Fair Your Butt fan club page. And
yeah.
Who is the first? You know how that they say it has a little square that says members, and it's down in the bottom left when you scroll down a little bit? Who is the first person I see on there? Somebody I know. And it's somebody named Darcy Lambert, who runs your boarding facility where Beaker is.
That's correct, yes. She is the one that actually told us about this. And I wouldn't doubt that some of the pictures on there were put up by Darcy, actually.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Your fairies on there. Oh, that's great. That's great.
Well, that was, you know, I really enjoyed having him on, and boy, he is passionate, but he says it like it is, and boy, you know, we're going to definitely have him back when we have farrier-type questions, because I like his style.
I thought he was great.
At Equus Now, you can enjoy fantastic customer service from knowledgeable horse folks that can ride, care for, and enjoy horses just like you do. Whether you shop on the fantastic EquusNow.com website, or it's lightning-fast shipping, or eye-popping 18,000-square-foot store in Lewis Center, Ohio, that's just north of Columbus, you're going to just love Equus Now. And just for the Horses in the Morning listeners, go to EquusNow.com and receive 10% off your order and a free Equus Now tote bag by entering the discount code Horse Radio. That's all in caps, all one word, Horse Radio. You enter that when you order from Equus Now, your next order, and you're going to get 10% off and a free Equus Now tote bag. Hurry, this offer is limited, and you're going to want to do it now. That's all caps, Horse Radio, all one word, to get that discount at EquusNow.com. Well, today's song, I thought, you know, we had the farrier from Tennessee kind of reminded me of country music, and that would be my bad southern accent, is Cowhand.com from Dan Roberts at OldBootsMusic.com.
To this brand new ranch. It was owned by a bunch of fancy pants, but they did have several high dollar trucks and trailers. Well, there was barns and pens, it was under construction, and I was informed by phone I'd receive my instruction in a video arriving in a padded mailer. It said, sort the cows in pen 11, then bring us the tags so we can scan them, and I didn't have a clue, but I took a sack full of them to headquarters. There was a lady at a computer typing in numbers, and the more she typed, the more I felt dumber, and she said, yep, 501's too old, gotta go back and sort her. I replied, I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me that it's time to wean. Never seen a cow pulled by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, my security pass / photo ID opened the gate and picked out a horse for me, and you punch in a code and it'd start an automatic feeder. Of course, you still had to step over what them cows was downloading, and you did hair analysis with a digital modem, and put a cow up on the screen, it'd tell you which bull's going to breed her. Well, then they give me this laptop from my saddlebags, and it got dusty out riding drag, and I knew the boss was going to have my hide. Well, they said, just boot it up, open the windows, something about a mouse and a bunch of menus, so I hauled off and kicked it. I kept the windows closed because it was freezing outside. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed. Scroll me back to where I'm from, because I don't need no printout telling me which stall to clean. Never seen a horse shod by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. they start talking downsizing and linking up. I told them I was heading for the tall and the uncut. They could stick that Pentium right in their AOL. They was faxing emails and hazing the web, and they even had a megabyte RAM. That sounds inbred. I reckon those people wouldn't know the difference between a hard drive and a paper trail. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. Don't need no information highway to get back to where I'm from. And I don't need no printout telling me which colt is green. Never seen a bronc broke by a machine. Besides, this little cell phone just don't fit good in my jeans. I ain't no cowhand.com. I ain't no http://, all one word, all little letters, www.cowhand.com. Yep, that's what you get when you try to cross one of them computers with a cowboy.
I love that song. That is Dan Roberts, cowhand.com. You can check that out at oldbootsmusic.com. We had him on for a musical episode last month, I guess that was, February, and did a great job, and, wow, what a cool guy. It's going to be tough to top that one, too. We've had some pretty amazing musical episodes. So this is Jamie Jennings, and I'm along here with Glenn the Geek, who needs no introduction, apparently. Listen to the beginning of the show. Today's show is brought to you by Easy Signs Online. Man, we've had a couple great guests already. Richard Migliore from HRTV doing a racing report. Steve Davis, and our next guest I am super excited about because it's Phyllis Dawson, the rider of Snowy River, which, come on, I mean, from the Rolex and eventing and all that, oh, she is just, you know, she's been around the block, and I just have been a huge fan, so I'm excited to talk to her in a minute as well.
Well, I wanted to say, Jamie, we'll get to Phyllis here in a second, but we had a couple comments on our Farrier interview. By the way, you know, he was good, and I loved his comment. And boy, he could keep up with me. I love that comment at the end there. But Susan Nelson posted, the Farrier guy shoots, he scores. And Cheryl Figures posted, I plan to play this interview over the loudspeakers at the barn over and over and over again. We had a great Farrier in Colorado. Love, love, love him. Then we moved to Michigan. And I guess it's not so good. So
I feel you, Cheryl, because I left the greatest Farrier in Georgia. Oh, Shane, I miss you so. But I do like my Farrier now. So I did find a nice Farrier, and it's a woman. So I'm even more excited about that. But I miss you, Shane. You're the best.
Well, we have our guest up here. Are you why don't you lead with this one? Because you know, you're an eventer, and she is like an eventing icon. So
I know she is. It's Phyllis Dawson. And the reason we're having Phyllis on is not even really to get too terribly into eventing, although I'm sure it'll, you know, reach that level at some point. But Phyllis is a breeder of the Irish Sport Horse. And every once in a while, you know, we like to highlight certain breeds and learn about them. And I'm going to tell you what, I have never met an Irish Sport Horse that I did not like. And that's tough to say about most breeds, but that horse that we went to California and bought, Glenn, is an Irish Sport Horse. And
oh, really?
He is, yeah, the big gray horse, and he's coming along really well. And I just, like I said, I just haven't met one I don't like. So, first of all, let's say hello to Phyllis. Good morning, Phyllis.
Good morning. How are you? I'm happy to be on your show.
Oh, my gosh. It's so great to talk to you. And I'll tell you why I have been a fan of yours because, and this is very girly, silly of me, but you rode a horse named after my favorite movie of all time, Snowy River. And so I'm always cheering for you. I mean, just the name alone, but then watching your beautiful horse go through Rolex and be around and about. How is he doing, by the way?
Well, he's passed away a few years ago, but at an old age. But he was a wonderful horse, and I have a lot of terrific memories from riding him.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that. I'm so sorry. But, yeah, he was around. I mean, he was in the 88 Olympics? Or, no, that was Albany you rode.
No, that was Albany, yes. Snowy River did the European Championships at Burley in England in 1997, among
yeah.
other competitions, but that was kind of his career highlight.
Oh, wow. Well, so you are a breeder of the Irish Sport Horse, by the way, and I've been looking on your website, and I found the horse for me.
she always does.
That wouldn't be Polaris, would it?
How did you know?
I get a lot of inquiries about that one.
Oh, my gosh. This horse is so phenomenally built. I mean, he is uphill. He's got the neck coming out of his back. He's got a short back, you know, perfect hips, great shoulder, straight conformation. Tell us about, first of all, tell us about the breed, and then tell me about my next horse.
Okay. Well, the Irish Sport Horse is a cross between Irish Draft and Thoroughbreds. And the Irish Draft is the breed that's been developed in Ireland for centuries, and it's a very versatile breed. They are a heavier horse, but when you think of draft horses like the Percherons and the Shires and all, the Irish Draft is not nearly that heavy. The farmers bred them because they needed a horse that they could work the fields during the week and then go fox hunting with on Saturday and then maybe, you know, have them pull the carriage into church on Sunday to take the family to church. So they were bred for their ability to go cross country and cope with all kinds of conditions and to do sort of whatever job needed to be done around the farm. And so the Irish Draft Horse is sort of the foundation of the breed, but for modern sport, you want more thoroughbred blood in it than that, because the Irish Draft are, you know, they're good jumpers and they're good fox hunters, but they are a bit heavier type. So for modern three-day eventing and show jumping and dressage as well, you want the thoroughbred blood. So an Irish Sport Horse would be a cross between the Irish Draft and the thoroughbred, and they might be half and half, or they might be three-quarter thoroughbred, one-quarter Irish Draft. That would be the sort of typically what I'm breeding in my program for horses for upper-level competition. They might be seven-eighths thoroughbred. They might be three-quarter Irish Draft. You know, you can have any combination, and they're considered an Irish Sport Horse. And they tend to be, they have the heart of a thoroughbred, and they tend to have the gallop and the quick reactions and the intelligence of a thoroughbred, but just a little bit on the quieter side than your typical hot thoroughbred. And they have
right.
the wonderful loose movement through their back and suspension in their gaits from the Irish from their Irish side, and tend to have fabulous jumping ability, and they have a great sense of humor.
Well, I wish you liked him a little more. Gosh. I can tell you're very passionate about it. And I think that you're probably one of the pioneers to make the Irish Sport Horse so popular in eventing. I mean, you can't go to an event and not see a couple of them now. And, I mean, heck, probably some of them came from you.
Well, that's probably true. I mean, I don't know if I'm one of the pioneers, but I've certainly loved the Irish Sport Horses for a long time. I mean, I love horses, and I think a good horse of any breed, you know, is a good horse. I'm not going to turn a horse down on its breeding, but yes, if I had to say my favorite breed would be the Irish Sport Horses, with the thoroughbreds then coming in a close second.
Right.
And, you know, and they vary a lot, because you can have the ones with a bit more Irish Draft breed blood are great for, you know, for amateurs and people starting out and fox hunters and so forth. And then you can have the, you know, the higher percentage of thoroughbred blood that gives you the horses for high-level sport. And, you know, there's a little bit of everything there.
Yeah, and what I like about them, too, is they are still light enough to be very agile horses. Like you said, they run and they jump and they turn and they've got all that. But they actually have just more bone and more hoof than a typical standard thoroughbred, even though they in
right.
the body can look like a thoroughbred in that thinner built way. They still have bigger bone and bigger hoof, and they just seem to be typically, I would say, and this could be wrong, but it's like sounder-looking horses.
Yeah, that's true. They are, you know, they're bred for to be sturdy and hardy, and I think they tend to be a little bit, you know, tough, have that physical toughness that makes them stand up to it.
And your farm is up in Virginia, and you have a one or two stallions standing up there.
We just have one stallion. He's a half-bred, half-Irish draft and half-thoroughbred. His name is Brandenburg's Windstar. And we've been crossing him with thoroughbred mares to get the three-quarter bred youngsters, you know, like Polaris and a number of others. And we've been having a lot of success in our breeding program. When I say a lot of success, I don't mean financial success, because breeding horses is definitely not.
Join
not,
the rest of the horse
very,
world, huh?
Well, of all the, you know, all of the endeavors you can do in the horse world to try to lose money, I think breeding is, you know, is right up there. But we have been producing some lovely babies. Certainly the horse Polaris, who's just getting ready to start out his eventing career, is one of the cream of the crop. But I've actually got a number of his younger brothers and sisters, 3- and 4-year-olds, coming along behind him that I'm really excited about.
Now, so if I know,
stallion,
go ahead.
Sorry, Glenn.
Well, I was just going to say, I know that you've been, you know, I'm bringing it back to eventing here. You've been around Rolex a few times.
I have.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to ask you: do you still go to watch, or do you still attend?
Sometimes, not every year. A couple of years ago, I had a student, Melissa Hunsberger, rode, and I went down and helped her and coached her. And I went last year to watch the WEG, and that was a lot of fun. It's very nostalgic going back to Rolex, you know, not having – I mean, part of me really misses the competing and riding around it and doing it. But, you know, I'm 53 now, and I've hit the ground hard enough times, so – part of me walks around the cross country and says, wow, I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, the reason I brought that up is because, you know, we also do the eventing radio show over here on the Horse Radio Network. And Chris had on this week Mark Todd, Blythe Tate, Andrew Nicholson, all who are making a comeback. So that's why I was bringing that up, to see if there was an announcement you wanted to make here, Phyllis.
Well, I don't think I'm going to make a comeback to the upper levels. You know, I still enjoy doing the lower levels. I have a lovely Irish sport horse named Drifter that is just moving up to preliminary. Did a couple of preliminaries at the end of last season, and, you know, I'll be continuing to compete with him this spring. And taking Polaris out at his first events if somebody doesn't buy him in the meantime. So I really get my thrills now from producing the young horses, really well-made, well-trained, give them the correct basis, and have them ready to go on to careers with, you know, somebody younger.
Now, I got to say, only a 4-star eventer would say, oh, yeah, I'm taking a horse out at the lower levels. We're going prelim.
Well, I tell you what, you know, those prelim courses can look pretty big.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, lower level is prelim? Oh, man, I'm never going to get there.
Well, you know the thing about eventing is it's a thrill at any level. Whatever level you ride at, it's a challenge. It's not, you know, that's one of the things I've always loved about the sport, because you're challenged, and if you go and you do well and you complete, it doesn't matter if you get a ribbon or not. It doesn't matter if you win or not. It's nice to win, but it's putting you and your horse testing your training and your preparedness against the course. It's very rewarding just in its own right.
Well, and taking a horse up through the levels, I mean, especially for you, when you have bred these guys and you have raised these horses and you started them and you're going forward with them, to take that horse to his first novice is a thrill. I mean, it doesn't matter what level you're at. It's the level that the horse is at and how you've got them there and how thorough and appropriate your training has been for the level you're competing at. And by the way, it's always nice to win.
Yeah, yes, it is. But, you know, and a beginner novice fence can look huge when you're sitting on a greenie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
By the way, Phyllis, I wanted to say that Lucinda Green was also on this most recent episode with Mark Todd and Blythe Tate and Andrew Nicholson, and she agreed with you. She's just content to stay to the lower levels now.
Yeah. I think that's a natural progression. I think most writers, you know, except maybe Bruce Davidson, get to that point after a while.
You know what?
Yeah,
he has broken every bone in his body 25 times, and he's still out there trying to break bones.
Yeah, and, you know, when we get older, we don't heal quite as fast. I mean, I've broken a few bones in my time, too, but they really don't heal like they used to.
So are you heading over to Rolex to watch this year?
I'm not quite sure yet. I'm hoping to get there. Haven't made definite plans yet.
Well, if you do, we're actually going to be doing this morning show live from Rolex every morning. They've asked us to do that, and then Chris will be doing the Eventing Radio Show live every evening. So if you make your way over, we might be getting a hold of you to see if you'll join us one morning here on the show.
Okay. I would love to.
That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be fun. Well, we appreciate you being with us. That's the Irish Sport Horse. Let me give your website out again. It is Team Wind Chase, wind like the breeze, teamwindchase.com, and we'll put links to that in our show notes as well. And you have a page there that has Jamie, how much is your next horse anyway? I didn't see that part.
Listen, Glenn, it's not about the price, okay? It's about the match. And we are a perfect match. And,
I'm a friend with your husband, so for us, it's all about the price. Yeah.
if you don't spend the money on a horse, you're just going to fritter it away on something unimportant like, you know, shelter, food, educating the children. So you might as well spend it on a horse.
All right. It's been nice talking to you, Phyllis.
Phyllis, I'll call you about Polaris. As soon as I win the lottery, that horse will be mine. I want
Sounds
him very
good.
Badly. I'll call you.
We do
Talk
appreciate you,
you
being on with us, Phyllis. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Glenn, why you got to bring up the money? Why is it got to always be about money?
Because I'm all about the horse husband. That's my job. Well, I'm America's horse husband. I have to look after Chad. If he's young, he's new to this relationship, he's all like gooey in love with you, that all ends after another year, and then he's going to be stuck with the big debt that you've put on him by buying all these horses.
Well, listen, I was serious when I said I'd call her if I won the lottery, because on Phyllis's website, by the way, you should go look at this horse, Polaris, I should post a picture on Facebook or something, they've got a price code. So price code A, under $10,000. B is 10 to 20, C is 20 to 30, and price code D is over $30,000. Guess where Polaris falls?
It's certainly not under $10,000, is it?
Polaris is in the over $30,000 range, and that's a big, that could be anything. So listen.
By the way, I'm
on a nickel of it, though. Wow.
I normally don't like grays a whole lot, but I'm on the website now. It's at teamwindchase.com. Polaris is one handsome horse, and even more handsome if you click more pictures and see him under saddle.
Oh, my gosh. He's phenomenal. I love him. I love him. I'm going to pet him while I'm just staring at the computer screen. That's as close as I'm ever going to get to a horse like that. We love you, Polaris. Okay, bye. Stop. I can't stop. I got to stop looking at him. I had to click it off.
Yeah, he's probably a little over your price range at this point. But, you know, someday maybe. Phyllis was great.
Yeah,
I had never spoken to Phyllis before, so she was great. We've had three terrific guests today, had a lot of fun talking about racing and farriering and eventing and sport horses and all of that. It's been a good show. And we have so far, knock on wood, kept our internet connection for one entire show this week.
Yay. We should wrap it up now.
Yeah, we probably should, actually. Of course, you can continue to listen to all of our shows at thehorseradionetwork.com. Tomorrow, we're going to be back here. We have a couple of more terrific guests. We're going to be talking about something that Jennifer and I get to spend a lot of time at. And, yes, we do feel fortunate, and don't take it for granted, because we get to go to the Kentucky Horse Park anytime we want. Matter of fact, we're going to be over to Kentucky Horse Park all weekend. So tomorrow we're going to have the special events coordinator for Kentucky Horse Park talking about all the new things they're doing with their fancy stadiums that were built for the WAG. And then, of course, we're going to have the Chronicle back. We also have to give the Chronicle a round of applause because they also won a social media award yesterday. They won, Jennifer, what was it for again? They won for the best magazine doing
social media?
Social media
use of a magazine international.
Yes, well, congratulations. That's terrific. I think that the Chronicle deserves that, and we're glad that we'll get to talk to them tomorrow about it. I wasn't sure. I watched the acceptance speech, and there was a young girl doing it, and I didn't know if that was our Lisa or who that was. So they didn't really say. She didn't say her name, so I don't know who it was. We're going to have to ask.
We'll find out tomorrow. Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow.
All right.
Great show today, Glenn. That was way fun. We'd like to thank all of our guests, of course, because they did such a great job. Richard the Mig Miglioria from I think.
Miglioria.
With
Miglioria.
HRTV.
Yeah.
Miglioria.
Just call him the Mig.
HRTV. The Mig. Thanks, the Mig, Steve Davis, and also Phyllis Dawson. Awesome show. Awesome show. And thanks to Dan Roberts for letting us play his music, oldbootsmusic.com.
And, of course, we want to thank our title sponsor, EZSignsOnline.com. Have a great ride today, everybody, and wear your helmet.